Mark has years of experience with that, and so you're in good hands when we get to that point of construction and prior during the application process. Eli Johnson is also on the call. Eli is our staff senior civil engineer and has been working on the project side by side with me for all these many months, getting things up to the point of now the 50% civil engineering renderings, which I think everyone has seen. And then Claire Garish, who is a project planner on staff with me here. Claire is actually going to be taking the reins of the Spanish Peaks project. I will be assisting her effort during the course of the project when need be. Claire's new to the company. She has years of experience in energy development as well. And Los Angeles County will be in good hands under this project's leadership, the Spanish Peaks project leadership. At this time, I will still be, for probably the next month or two, the go-to contact, but eventually Claire will be taking on that role as I move on to other responsibilities. So there's an overview of who's with us on the UV team. And yeah, if you could introduce Bob, yourself, and the others here with you on the call, if they want to just put in a word about your roles and responsibilities and interest in the project, that'd be great.
Yeah, my name is Bob Lucero. I am the Director of Planning and Land Use for the county. I will be reviewing your permit application when you're submitted. Then we move it on to the Planning Commission and then forward it on to the commissioners for review. So I'll be the contact person for you guys.
Great. Thanks, Bob.
We have Phil Dornkamp. He is our county administrator. He's also our road supervisor. Christy Coberly, who is our finance director for the county. I don't see anybody else that from the county that had gotten on yet. So.
Okay, that's great. Nice to virtually meet you, Phil and Christy. I know Phil and I have had a dialogue or two over email in the past, so nice to put a face to a name. And Christy, nice to meet you. I'm just bending over to grab a notebook off the floor. This is not where I actually am, by the way. I'm not at a reservoir with a mountain backdrop. This is so you don't see where I actually am, which is in my basement with a bunch of laundry hanging behind my head. So yeah, we are all working from home, and UV has been in that format since March. Occasionally people do go into the office. The office is technically open, but we, generally speaking, are still working from home because there's a lot of restrictions, both as a state and Boulder County, and then UV as a company has some coronavirus restrictions that make working from home just still the more feasible route for pretty much everybody. So yeah, fortunately we can all be here together today. So Bob and Phil and Christy and everyone else, if anyone else happens to be listening, you should have received the large packet of information that I submitted a couple days ago, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look through that. It contained hopefully a decent overview of what we are proposing for Spanish Peaks Solar, and as well included the civil engineering drawings that Eli and his team have been preparing up until this point. So now we're at the 50% drawing level, rendering level for the project. So to give you, I don't want to go over things that you can already see. I don't believe I have the ability to share my screen. Oh, I do. Never mind. I can share my screen. I'd like to share with you just a quick PowerPoint presentation, very short, that will give a better background of, visually speaking at least, of what we're looking at for Spanish Peaks Solar. Let me get to that. Bear with me here for 1 second while I get to that. All right, can everybody see that on their screen right now? You should be seeing
it. Yeah, we can see it. I can see it.
Excellent. Yeah, I can see it, Dave.
Okay, great. So anyone have a guess what that is a photo of on the first slide? Anyone not in the company? I should say Bob or Phil or Chrissy. Have a guess of what that is a photo of.
Is this the San Isabel Solar?
That is. It's the San Isabel Solar from the air. That's San Isabel. So we will be building adjacent to this project. Really great shot that we got. I believe, Mark, that was from a drone, right?
Yeah. We hired somebody to come out and take some aerial via drone.
Yeah. So anyway, it was an exciting project. We had a great experience. I was not a part of the company at that time. The planning and permitting process happened in 2015. And the project got underway in 2016, which is when I joined. But I've heard nothing but good news about that relationship that UV had with Los Angeles County at the time. And so certainly we look forward to continuing that. And that was one of the factors that went into our site selection process. So UV had worked, this was in early 2019. We were made aware of a potential opportunity with Tri-State, and I went about, one of the hats that I wear is GIS analysis, and in doing so, under the information that we had about what Tri-State was looking for, one of the considerations was, well, where have we had past positive experience, and that was in Los Angeles County. Unfortunately, we were able to build a good relationship with the primary landowner, the Grubelnick family, and they felt that they could handle another project on their land as well. So that was kind of the impetus of trying to create another Los Angeles County project, two positive experiences, the landowners plus the county. And the third part was an unknown, whether Tri-State would find that favorable. Unfortunately, they did. So that brings us to where we are now. Let me move on to the next slide. It goes a little bit faster than I'd like. So this is just a slide showing where we've built projects across America over the past 12 years of our existence. So we definitely have a focus, as you can see, in the Southwest of the US, including Colorado. As our home state. We do have a handful of projects on the East Coast as well. Next slide gives you a little bit of a, not a little bit, a comprehensive look at all of the projects we've built to date. The last project we constructed finished in early 2020, the Palmer Solar Project for Colorado Springs Utilities in El Paso County. And that was our biggest single project to date, megawattage-wise, 81 megawatts. The project you all are familiar with, San Isabel, was a 30 megawatt project, which at the time was a large size project. In the years since 2015, 2016, project size, not just at UV, but just in the industry, has grown not an order of magnitude, but pretty darn close. Project sizes are definitely getting bigger, and that's a part of just the understanding in the industry, the efficiencies of scale that we're realizing, as well as the power of the actual solar panels, the modules themselves are lending themselves toward these larger projects. So anyway, the Palmer Solar Project in El Paso County, we finished early this year, and Spanish Peaks will be much larger than that. Spanish Peaks is slated to be a 140 megawatt project, so big, by any stretch of the imagination, big. And I think I even mentioned approximately how many households that will power in that packet that I sent along. And I estimate that to be about 28,000 households worth of power from Spanish Peak Solar. So quite a bit being injected into the tri-state system, of which San Isabel Electric is a member utility. So the electric provider of a good part of Los Angeles County gets its electricity from Tri-State, which in turn feeds the houses and businesses of Los Angeles County. The next slide, this kind of is a important metric by which I use GIS to employ site finding. And if you take a look at this area right here, here's Los Angeles County, there's Trinidad. The project is about right here in this dark red area. If you look at the scale below, you can see that the Colorado resource range of how solar energy basically is measured, formerly called irradiance or insolation, Colorado really spans the spectrum of almost the very lowest solar radiance you can imagine to pretty darn close to some of the highest solar resource range that you can find in America. And some of the very best happens to be in Los Angeles County. Another hot spot is the San Luis Valley and then far southwest Colorado. Anyway, that's a big factor and a great thing for generation potential of a project. And that also led me to use Los Angeles County as a selection geography for this project. If you take a look at this overview of the two projects, San Isabel Solar versus Spanish Peak Solar, you can see the increase in basically every factor between what we built in 2016 and what we're proposing to build in starting in 2021. Location is roughly the same. They're right next to each other almost. The acreage is increased about 3.5 times. The size of the project, as far as megawattage, that third line, it's almost 5 times the project. And you might ask yourself, if you look at the modules have increased about 3 times of what they were. How do we attain that megawattage of almost 5 times the project's potential energy in 3.5 times the acreage? And that boils down to modules are so much more efficient now. So the solar panels that we're creating, you look at the solar panel, solar module wattage in 2016, they were 310 to 315 watt modules. We anticipate using something in the range of 530 to 600 watt modules for the Spanish Peak Solar Project. So we can get a lot more energy out of a given area. The cost of the project obviously is much more expensive. The duration of construction much more expensive. And the number of man hours, the number of individuals working on it, also more expensive. So, or not more expensive, greater. So the economic impact for Los Angeles County on this project will be much greater as far as local spending and the eventual tax base generated from that. On the next slide, this is an estimated construction schedule. We'll be, today is August. We're hoping to apply for the special use permit with the county this year. Within 2020. If we can get to that point, Bob, I know, is focusing on transitioning from a 1041 regulatory framework into the special use permit avenue of development, which would be similar to a large-scale wind project. So we're hopeful that we can get there. Bob, I don't know if you have any insight from that yet.
We're gonna propose some amendments to the land use guide. It will go before the planning commission. We're having a meeting on September the 8th,
Okay.
They'll make a recommendation on those, and then it'll move on to the commissioners to see, you know, if they want to accept those amendments or go a different route.
Okay. Good to know. Great. Yeah, if you could keep us apprised of that, because if we can't get to that special use permit method going through the 1041 regulatory process, will definitely take longer. That's definitely something that we would have to incorporate into our projected time frame.
Yeah, I'll keep you up to date on that.
Great. So anyway, we anticipate, should the special use permit be the method by which we can apply, we anticipate a third quarter beginning of our civil construction and fourth quarter of 2021, the actual beginning of installation of solar racking and everything that goes into a solar project, module installation, cabling, everything that you've seen on San Isabel Solar, and that will take the better part of 2 years, as that prior slide had shown. Substation, the project will have its own substation, and then there will be a tri-state specific substation on the 230 kilovolt Walsenburg to Gladstone line where the project energy will be delivered. And then we are hoping for a fourth quarter of 2023 completion of construction and energization. I am not getting that off my tongue of the entire project. This is anticipated, and obviously it's subject to change. One big factor being that special use permit versus 1041 process. But we're hopeful that this will be something that we can stick to. And this slide shows a GIS rendering of Spanish Peaks. Now, this is not exactly what it may look like, but we have a pretty good guess that this will be the final, close to what the final appearance of what the project will look like, now that we're at the 50% level of design. So you can see in the southwest corner, the San Isabel Solar Project, and you can kind of scale that up and see how much larger the Spanish Peaks project is. So this part of the project, the body of the project, is all on Grubelnik Ranch land. And then the, what's called the Gentile line, the transmission line between the project and Tri-State's own line, which runs from northwest to southeast like this, the 230 kilovolt interconnection line. This is on a parcel of land owned by Elk Run, a Texas-based company. So two landowners for the whole project, several parcels, but all two landowners. And then another view, it's kind of a neat view, taking a look at it obliquely. You can get an idea of the scope if you were flying at 35,000 feet going into Colorado Springs or DIA or Albuquerque or wherever, flying past it, looking to the northwest. This view, there's Trinidad in the kind of southwestern corner of the map, the Spanish Peaks somewhat in the upper part of the map, and then to the northeast, this is the Spanish Peaks project. And yeah, just my contact information. That's the end of the slideshow. We can get back to the regular screen. I'll keep that up there. There's no sense in looking at my face the entire time. So does anyone have any questions? Anyone in the group here? I guess it's Phil, Christy, Bob from that slideshow that you'd like to ask me or Mark or Eli or Claire?
At this point, I don't have any. I think Phil and Christy probably do.
Hi, Dave. This is Oberly. So the only thing I want to just make sure is because I think the materials is, I think, 90 million. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're not purchasing that equipment from Los Angeles, in Los Angeles County, correct?
That is also correct.
See, so what that will be, that'd be a destination sales. So wherever you purchase it from, Colorado has just incorporated destination sales tax. Mm-hmm. So wherever you purchase it from, they'll have to actually pay you'll still have to collect the 1.5 to have, and then submit that to the state so that we get our 1.5% off the 90 million.
Okay.
Okay, so I just want to make sure you do know that. Because before in the past, it was the used sales tax, but we still have the used sales tax, but since the state of Colorado incorporated the destination sales tax, we still get the 1.5 even if you don't order it from our county.
Okay, so that's kind of like a automobile purchase.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct.
So even I'm saying, so that any kind of purchase that happens.
Okay.
So let's say you get it from someplace, let's say in Denver, let's say.
Yeah.
That company will know that it's destination, that they'll still have to collect our 1.5%. And then that'll go to the state, and then the state will send that to us.
Great to know. It's probably, we do have a finance team, and okay. I'll pass that along. They'll probably say, yeah, we knew that. But I'll let them be aware. Yeah.
They can call me if they have questions as well.
Okay. They probably will. My guess is at some point you will be receiving a call. That would be from a man named Caleb Fronsman. He is our finance lead. So
now I'm assuming that you're going to purchase the material probably sometime in 2022 or in late 2021?
That is a good question. I don't know the answer. Some of the materials, Mark, you might be able to address this better. Some of the materials might already be purchased from the safe harboring under the ITC.
That's correct. A large portion of equipment has already been purchased. And then the other portions, I guess the other half or so. We'll start to see some POs going out. I got to get my head on which project I'm on. Probably early next year, we'll start to make some of those POs will go out as far as what the payments are. Some of it will be a upfront down payment, and then eventually when stuff arrives on site and things of that nature. But I would say a lot will start happening, next year.
So if you've purchased some of the equipment, did you pay the 1.5% for us?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Dave there. When it gets to financing, I don't know what they've got going on there. Okay. But we definitely
need to probably find out, because if it's a large purchase, I probably need to contact the lady from the state to let her know that there's going to be a large purchase coming in for the county, so that she can watch for that for me.
Okay.
So I just want to know what was purchased so that the county could get their 1.5.
Right.
Okay.
We will, following this meeting, Christy, I'll get in touch with Caleb,
okay,
who I just mentioned, and talk to him about what you just said.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I usually kind of let them know at the state that this purchase is coming, so that they know it's going to be a large purchase coming through.
Okay. Do you have a contact at the state that you could pass along to me so that we can, in case it's necessary, we can have a three-way conversation?
I'm not too sure, because I'm saying I'd have to, like, let me find his name, because the lady that's not there any longer, I think it's Brandon. I'll have to find it, then I can forward that to you through an email, because I think you're on the email with Bob. Let's see.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a new one named, I think his name is Brandon.
Okay.
So I usually talk to Luann Pyatt, but I think she actually was promoted and they have another kid in there now, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'll talk to Caleb after our meeting.
Sure. But either way, I'll probably let the state know that there'll be a large purchase coming through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, anyone else? Phil, I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, I've got a question, and maybe you touched upon it. I got sidetracked once or twice. What are the life of those new panels?
Well, in theory, the life of the panels is the life of the project, 35 years. So they should last the duration of the project, should they be constructed well. There's inevitably going to be problems. You know, there could be damage from a lightning strike. There could be damage from a wind event. There could be damage from humans. You know, we've had examples of when people shot out panels before. So in theory, though, the life of the solar panels, solar modules, is the duration of the project.
So one comment to that, though, they do degrade over time, and that is in the calculations, the generation modeling, the power purchase agreement with, you know, the tri-state and whoever the owner of the project is. So I'm just generally speaking, say the first 10 years, of course, they're producing the best. The next 10, not as good. And the last 10, not as efficiently, I should say. And the dollar amount for that sale of generation changes also based on some of that modeling with the degradation calculated into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. On page 4 of your presentation, not your presentation, but let me see what this document's titled. Pre-Review Conference International.
Yeah.
Let me get back to my spot. Page 4, just before item 2.0, the paragraph prior to that, says, however, following the site-specific studies conducted by outside experts. Who were those outside experts?
Yeah, so that would be the above list. So if you look at the bullet points above that paragraph, you'll see the consultants that we employed. So these are, as part of our diligence of any site, any project, we hire third-party professional consultants to conduct studies on a whole host of things. So from that list above, the first 4 were the consultants that I hired for understanding if there was contamination on the site, or understanding if there's endangered species on the site, or cultural artifacts, or waters of the US, or things like that. So those are the experts.
Okay. Construction traffic, which I think is 3.0 on page 5. Of the same document, anticipating up to 12 delivery trucks per day. And I noticed that in the one map, you have potentially 2 different routes, one coming from the north and one coming from the south.
Right.
The one from the north is green. I assume that's your preferred route?
Not necessarily. That, don't go by the color code. Yeah, that's not necessarily the preferred route. We wanted to
pull up that document, Dave.
The map.
Yeah, or what the document that Phil's reading.
Yeah, I'm looking at the document right now. The map is one of the attachments that I sent in the email. So if you go to what I sent on Wednesday, you'll see that map. The document is the pre-review conference informational packet.
I want to say on the San Isabel project that we used, I wasn't on that project, but I believe the green route was more in line with what we used for that project. I think the idea what Dave was saying is we wanted to propose a couple, obviously, as you know, coming right off the highway there closer to Aguilar, that's only for personnel kind of vehicle and not for our delivery trucks with that underpass type thing there.
I can actually share that.
I think that may have been the issue you ran into on the San Isabel project, where you were having to route your trucks down to, southeast of the little community of Ludlow. Mm-hmm. And then you have to offload, and you can come back onto I-25 on our County Road 52, which would be about in line with the south portion, the south boundary of that solar array. But on that north route, there's a bridge just after that 90-degree turn where you turn south. There's a bridge right there. And I looked through the data earlier on the bridge, and I don't see where it's restricted. But that's something that you may want to take a look at, too. And I'll have the crew that works that area Monday take a look to make sure that that's either yes or no restricted.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then impact fee, and then impacts on the road. Whenever you guys did that, I shouldn't say you guys, whoever constructed the one that's going to be a lot smaller than this one's going to be, destroyed cattle guards, culverts, and the gravel that we had on those road surfaces were just pulverized. And that County Road 60, which goes east from Aguilar there, I'm guessing that we graveled that within the last 5 years and still has good gravel, because we have residential traffic out there, maybe 6 vehicles a day, and that may be pushing it. I can envision the damage that 12 trucks, fully loaded trucks a day is going to have on that county road and or that bridge. So
yeah,
we're going to need to have a discussion on how you guys plan on mitigating that damage, or paying a fee, which is what I would prefer, up front, so that when you're done, we could go back in and gravel that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks, Phil, for bringing that up.
Tend to do, and we plan on doing on this one, and we've done in most all of our projects in the past, but the impact study, and we've used, you know, one of our survey or civil outfits to do a survey, and nowadays with all the drone footage and things of that nature, we definitely plan on doing that and putting together a report, you know, before or after type thing. But again, yeah, you're on our radar 100%, and we will be sure to be open book and tell you everything. And I think that's what we wanted to do here, was to get your feelings on what we were thinking. And I think you kind of gave us some good ideas there. You agree with that, Dave? And then I think we will surely present all our findings to you and keep you in the loop on how we proceed there.
Well, I understand, and I'm going to butt in before Dave comments. I understand that, but if I'm a consultant doing a road study and structure study for a firm, I'm going to make sure that my study, I don't want to say benefits the firm that hired me, but I'm going to make sure that it is leaning more towards what they would expect out of me than what the owner of the road in this case and those structures are. I just know past experience, cattle guards were destroyed, culverts were collapsed, because our structures aren't designed to carry that kind of loads or those kinds of loads day in and day out. So, right.
Yeah, that Phil, that's a understandable concern. And I've heard about what happened in 2016 during the San Isabel project. So, and I also agree with you as far as what you said, you know, the consultant will lean toward whoever hired them to be favorable in their light, but we would present whatever consultant would study the road, those findings to you, to the Los Animas County team to, agree or disagree with prior to construction. This will all be prior to actual construction, and we would then come to an agreement of some sort with the county for returning the roads to the previous state once construction is complete, and also damages along the way. You know, if a culvert gets destroyed or blown out, or a cow guard gets wrecked during that time period, we definitely will need to fix that in the middle of the construction time.
Well, also, Dave and Phil, I mean, we will do this study beforehand, and we will, like Dave said, submit to you guys to buy off on it. But we're hiring them to assess any infrastructure that will not support the project as well. So if there is some agreement we need to make on the front end to make sure we don't have to go back and try to fix all these things, like probably what happened with San Isabel, maybe we can see some opportunity on the front end to go ahead and improve and come to some agreement on what needs to improve to support the traffic and the deliveries. I mean, that's why we want to do the impact study up front and have you guys involved in reviewing that as well. So we don't want to just always be fixing things that we messed up. We want to try to get on them in the front end as well.
No, to that point exactly. On the Palmer project, I know we actually put in new cattle grates in a couple spots that could handle the weight and the intervals or whatever. So I'm with Eli there too. I'd rather make it right and give you guys something better that can handle what, you know, we're bringing to the table, and not have to be out there making repairs where in the end we're going to have to replace it anyway. So I guess the point was, is we want to be in really close contact with you and work together with you to make this good for all parties, and not impact you, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And the southern route, I'll call it, that county road that's east and west there from the interstate back to the east, we've mag chlorided that road now a couple of times, and that's something else that if you guys decide to use that route, that we're going to want you to chloride that when you're all said and done. And along those same lines, on the northern route, there's a county road 61, and I'm guessing it's probably about 5 miles east of the interstate that goes back to the north. There are some houses that sit really close to County Road 60, which is the road that you have highlighted in green. We already get complaints about dust when our trucks are hauling out there. If I were you guys, anticipate having at least chloride or do some kind of dust suppressant in front of those houses while you have your delivery trucks running.
Great to know, Phil. That's great information. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be one of the ones probably, you know, looking into this and what we want to do. But I only want to really pick one. So then, of course, you know, there's only one thing to impact and maintain and those things. And just listening to you talk, I feel a little bit better about the southern one. One, it's shorter, and two, it doesn't have the interaction with the houses. And, you know, I definitely, neighbors and things, we want to keep great relationships. And yeah, so if we can avoid even having to interact, that's even better. So I'm leaning towards the south, but again, we won't go too far off track. Definitely, we're open ears to everything you've got to say, and we will present our best foot forward to you and work with you to get there for sure. But thanks for your points. Those are good upfront informations to have.
I think that's all I have.
Great, Phil. Thanks. I wrote all of those things down, by the way, so it's not just me bobbleheading. Yeah. I have it written down, and we will be discussing this. So that's it, I guess, from Los Animas County, based upon that presentation. Christy or Bob, I don't know if you have any questions that stem from what I had emailed the other day, the more kind of more detailed information.
No, I'm good with that. The only thing I might mention is, And I'm not sure, you might check the San Isabel Solar Project. At the time, I don't know if they were required to get a building permit from the county.
Yeah.
Like I say, I wasn't involved in that part of it, but you might check your records to see if they were required.
It was.
If they were, they'll probably be required to get one now.
Yeah. That was a part of it. And that actually segues, that was one of the items on my list was I was hoping to get from you, and it doesn't have to be today, but a comprehensive list of the permits that you foresee we would need. Obviously we don't know if we're going to be going this special use permit or 1041 route, but the other permits like building permit or if there's a sign permit, landscape permit, just to be sure that I understand myself and Claire understand the permits and the order of events of those permits, since it varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and over time. What was the permit process in 2016 isn't necessarily the 2021 permit process.
Okay. Phil, are they going to need access permits where they're going to access off of the county road?
If they're using an existing road, no. If it's a new road, yes. And they will be required to get a building permit.
Okay. Yeah, our plan right now, the design that we have right now, has 3 points of access, Phil and Bob, off of County Road 75. So we would have three pans coming in. Eli, I don't know if you want to say anything else about that, but.
It seems like we're going to need to get those permits in place and get you guys to review them. We'll have that as part of the civil design package as well. I mean, they're going to provide a drawing and hydrology calcs if there's anything that needs to be installed as far as a culvert goes, which likely there will be, and just BMPs and anything else in the right of way that's going to be required to get into the site. But yeah, we'll have 3 of them, and they'll have the size and the hydrology calcs of what's going into them. I mean, I would imagine it's a small drainage basin for most of those locations, so 18-inch culvert's probably going to be sufficient, but we'll see what comes back whenever they get their calculations run on that.
Great. Thanks, Eli. Additionally, one thing that you can't see in the visual presentation that I just gave, and I don't know if I mentioned it in the kind of informational packet from the other day either, but the site will need temporary power. And so the temporary power we're actually going to be drawing from the San Isabel project, so that we will be installing overhead lines to go from the San Isabel project across County Road 75 over to the Spanish Peaks project, and following the end of construction, we would remove that. But that will be our source of temporary power. And I think that's about it. The major questions that I have leaving this meeting today would be, like I just mentioned, Bob, kind of the permit list and the order of events of those permits, if you could provide that to me. And then of course the imperative, just because it will make such a big difference in the time we will need to dedicate prior to construction, should we end up going the special use permit or 1041 regulatory framework route. That will make a big difference, at least in my mind. Maybe you don't foresee the 1041 taking a long time, but I know in other experiences that we've had, having to meet the standards of the 1041 threshold definitely takes more time.
Yeah, we went through 1041 when Tri-State put their line in through there, and it did take quite some time.
Yeah. Okay. And it's really not an apples to apples comparison. So that time period is not necessarily the same for the Tri-State project and if Spanish Peaks had to go 1041, but certainly it would take more time, which would then impact that one, the overall construction framework and kind of compress things a bit. Certainly we are deeply interested in that.
I'll keep you up to date.
Okay, great.
Bob, I've talked to you and sent over some of the preliminary civil design stuff. I think you were going to send it to Phil. I mean, we talked kind of briefly about your review and what you guys were expecting from the civil engineer and the civil design on this. And, we have a lot of, we're meeting any requirements that you guys and most any other AHJ would require with drainage calcs and ensuring, pre-post velocities and flows are appropriate after the construction as well, and kind of not changing historical drainage patterns and during construction, providing all kinds of erosion control measures, silt fence and check dams and temporary ponds and anything to keep silt on our site and cleaned up as the grading activities move forward. But just wanted to see if there was more to that conversation that needed to be had. If Phil, this is the first time talking to you, if you had any thoughts about any of the civil design, hydrology, erosion control type things you wanted to really pinpoint or focus on as we continue with our civil design. We're at 50%. I think Dave shared those drawings with you guys, and we're trying to move on to the 90% to have IFC drawings in the next couple months. So any feedback on that, we appreciate, and we'll definitely try to take into consideration and implement things of concern that may, for this site specifically, we need to implement.
No, just forward when you get some of your design to a point where you're comfortable with it, forward that, those designs to us so we can look at them.
Yeah, certainly we'll do that. And as take a look at the 50% and see if there's anything, it's always better to kind of get your guys' input earlier on. It's easier to get it in the design. So if there's anything you see in those drawings that you want us to implement, just make us aware of it.
And Mark, okay. Did you have anything that you'd like to add, Mark?
No, I think it was pretty straightforward, and I think all your information in the packet and what you talked about today gives a pretty good picture. And yeah, no, good to meet you folks. And if you have any questions, please reach out. We'll be happy to answer anything, even if it's something nitty gritty in the construction process or something. I'd be happy to share. So just looking forward to working with you guys again, and hopefully we get past COVID and things can get back to normal and life goes on.
Hey, Dave, I have one more question.
Yeah.
So is the company that is, it's Spanish Peaks Solar Energy?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's Spanish Peaks Solar LLC.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm going to do a cross-reference to see if we've received any sales tax from you guys. To see, because if you said you purchased some of the equipment, I just don't recall seeing anything from you guys. But that's how I want to know if it's under a different name.
It also could be under JSI Construction Group LLC. That would might even be the more likely scenario. It's under
JSI?
JSI Construction Group LLC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on that equipment that was purchased, I mean, it's allocated with the intention to go to this project, but I guess you could say it was a bulk purchase of things that we know we're going to use on somewhere on these projects. And surely there's some that with the intention to go to this project, but how it's purchased and broken up, and yeah, that's a whole finance thing that
And then that's where our use tax would kick in, to where if you didn't purchase it as destination sale, then our use tax would come in, to where you would still have to pay the 1.5 to us.
Okay. That's my guess is that's probably going to be the case then, because as Mark said, we purchased in order to qualify for the federal ITC credit on projects prior to 2023. We purchased quite a bit of materials across the board for potential projects anywhere in America. And so then it would be from that stockpile allocated to Spanish Peak Solar.
Okay. So if you didn't purchase it, if you're not going to purchase it and have it the destination come here, then not our use tax kicks in. You still have to pay the 1.5 to the county.
Gotcha. Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Yeah. And I will again talk to Caleb after this and give him your contact information, Christy.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I guess the final question I have that just came to mind, Bob and Phil, would be, and this goes back again to the special use permit amendment to the Los Animas County land use regulations. In an ideal situation, just trying to get this in my mind here as I formulate a picture going forward. In an ideal situation, when do you think you would know whether it would be a special use permit that we could use or the 1041 permit we would have to use?
From my end, our meeting is on September the 8th, and then we forward the recommendation onto the county commissioners. So it would be probably October 6th when they would hear it, Phil.
Yeah, that would be my guess also, because I think we have to advertise for public hearing, etc. Or I believe it's 10 days, but don't quote me on that. So if the Planning Commission meets on the 8th, we would not be able to get that in front of the board on September 15th. So I'm guessing it'd be October 6th for the board's consideration.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. That's not bad at all. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Claire had a question in the chat. She said her microphone might not be working.
Great. Let's take a look. Oh yeah. Okay, so Claire asked, just in case, Noah, I'll read it in case you others can't read it. Christy, is there a year that the tax would be preferred to hit your books? In other words, if the cost was incurred on our end, but it wasn't assigned to Spanish Peaks, then would it be better for the tax payment to hit in Los Animas County in 2021?
It doesn't matter to me on my books, but through the state of Colorado, so when you make that purchase, let's say you made it in the month of August, then you actually have to pay it to them by September 20th. So I'm not too sure how you want to follow that through the state of Colorado, but it doesn't matter when it hits my books. But I'm just saying, though, so it just depends on if you're following to the state law to where if you make a purchase or whatever you do, I'm saying you collect the sales tax.
Right.
You have it the next month to pay it, unless you're on a different cycle, unless you're actually quarterly. But with a company as large as yours, I'm assuming you pay monthly sales tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of these purchases, I think, are more in the agreement phase. And as I mentioned, like it's like they bought all the raw materials and they know we have the raw material to make part of the racking, say. And then we have an agreement with the racking builder. And say, you know, we want this much for the Spanish Peaks project. We'll issue the PO and then start paying specifically for that project, I believe. But I'm not 100% sure. Again, we have a finance team that couldn't tell you how to build the project, but they can tell you everything about the monies, obviously. So, and we can tell you more about the building. But definitely, I'm sure that they're aware, and in some way, I just don't think anything's been purchased, say, for Spanish Peaks Stoller, if that makes sense. So it's been purchased for something, and then we're going to buy out of that, and then I think that's where we'll see POs and things that we can say this is for the project in Las Animas County and so forth. So if that makes sense, I'm not sure if I'm speaking that well, but
it does. I just want to make sure the county will get their portion.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yep. Understood.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Well, Bob, Phil, Christy, thank you for being here today, taking an hour out of your day to listen to us and this proposal. And as Mark said, and Eli has said, and I've said, we definitely are looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to walking the brick streets of Trinidad at some point, because it's been too long since I've been down there. So can't wait to make it down to Trinidad at some point once it's the time to do so. And we are all available should you have any questions.
I just wanted to say real quick too, I know Claire would say the same thing, but she's been in the message letting us know that something's wrong with her microphone, or else she would have spoken to us. So I'm sure she's looking forward to working with the group as well. So
yeah, that's very true.
Okay, and I'll keep in touch.
All yeah, right. And I haven't said it, but yeah, I will say it. Thanks for saying it for me, Dave. But yeah, we are excited about this project, and it's great to meet all of you guys and look forward to working with you.
All right.
Likewise.
Thank you. Wonderful weekend.
All right, guys.
And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You guys take care. We'll talk again soon.
Bye.